Monday and Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, you can also listen to it on our Podomatic page, podomatic.com, and just put in Camp Constitution, and on our YouTube channel. And the show is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among all things, runs a week-long family camp. And this year's camp, God willing, we have every intention of running our camp this year. It's from July 19th to the 24th, so it'll be Sunday afternoon till Friday morning at the beautiful Singing Hills Christian Camp and Conference Center in Plainfield, New Hampshire, about an hour north of Concord. And one of our feature instructors at this year's camp is on the line there. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Al. It's great to be with you.
Good to be on again. You've been on 5 or 6 times the last couple of years. You are an author of several books, including you co-authored this one with our late dear friend Sam Blumenfeld, called Crimes of the Educators. You are a writer for The New American. You speak a number of different languages, travel around the world, and also teach at the Freedom Project Academy. And I wanted you on this time to talk about something called coronavirus. Are you familiar with that a little bit?
No, what's that? I don't think I've heard of that.
Oh,
one
you
yet.
Haven't,
I've been
you
living
haven't
under
got
a
the
rock
memo. Well, your editor, Gary Benoit, better get on the ball and fill you in. No, actually, The New American came out with a really good special issue, and it made it available, I guess, as a free PDF download. So tell us, as a liberty-minded person, your take on this.
Well, you know, I'm not an expert on the virus side of things or the medical
right.
side of things. I will say that I'm thoroughly unimpressed with the fear-mongering so far. It seems to me like there's a deliberate campaign to try to orchestrate as much fear and panic as possible. And the reason why they do that is the same reason why they always do that. They have new policies, new programs, new liberties they want to steal, more money they want to take from us. And so I think that's very much going on here. But we did do an interview yesterday with Dr. Shiva, who I know And so
yes.
we got, some of the medical side of that. That was very, very interesting, some of the scientific side, and that was very interesting. There's also a new documentary that just came out from the Epoch Times, a newspaper, which I also write for, but they did a really phenomenal job on this documentary. It's about the origin of the CCP virus, and what they argue is that it appears to be something created in a bioweapons lab in China, and they have some experts on virology talking about how it seems to be different pieces of different types of viruses spliced together. It's phenomenally interesting. And so from the from the medical side, I will say that without being a doctor, without being an expert on these things, I'm not persuaded that we're being told the truth about how dangerous it is, about where it came from. I guess so the official party line is that somebody ate a bat, and
right.
I'm not convinced
ate
by
a
that.
Bat. Well, what's interesting is that this notion that it was manufactured, artificially created, the first thing usually, that's a conspiracy theory, but it's becoming more mainstream. And the Epoch Times did an incredible job. They have a special issue of their publication, and I have a learning center in Lexington. And in the front porch, when I went up there yesterday, the day before, there was a copy that they had delivered probably in the whole town. And it does have a sizable Chinese population in Lexington. And they call it the CCP virus because they believe that the Communist Party of China is responsible for not only creating it, but letting it get out and then not dealing with it when the first symptoms were shown in Wuhan. And then, in fact, what did they do? They punished, there was 8 doctors, I think, that initially back in, what was it, early December or late November, said something's not right here, we got a problem. And they were told to recant what they said. They were censored and what have you, which is what happens in communist countries. But it looks like, I hear people saying that, Trump's going to lose his next election because of this virus and the economy's tanking. But I can't see the average American blaming Trump for something, a virus. What's your take on that?
Yeah, the politics of it are going to be interesting. I think if this continues much longer, I don't know that Trump will have realistic opportunity of winning. And I don't mean the virus problem. I think the virus, again, has been overhyped. I don't think it's nearly as dangerous as we've been told to believe. But I think the real problem here, and I wrote about this in the new special issue we did in the New American for the coronavirus, is the economic side of things. Basically, we are committing economic suicide under the pretext of dealing with this virus. And even the official projection now, you have leaders of the Federal Reserve now saying that we may have 50, 60 million people out of work if this continues much longer. That's a third of our workforce. Okay, we have Goldman Sachs estimating that we may shave a third off of our GDP. Imagine our economy shrinking by a third. You think you're having trouble making ends meet now. Just wait till the economy shrinks by a third. Just wait till the inflation eats away all your last savings, and going to the grocery store costs you, 10 times as many dollars as it does today. Things will get really rough. And, people, unfortunately, they've been so indoctrinated, they've been so dumbed down and propagandized by the media that I don't think people go into elections all the time thinking about things rationally. They might not think, well, Trump really didn't have anything to do with this virus, and, technically it was my governor that shut down my economy and cost me my job.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just be mad.
That's right.
And they'll just vote against whoever they see on the ticket who's an incumbent. And so I think, that's probably part of the reason. I think the establishment, the deep state, hates Donald Trump with such a passion. And, you and I, Hal, are constitutionalists. We certainly can't agree with every single thing he's ever said and done.
That's correct.
But I think it's clear that the establishment hates him, which is with an incredible passion. Just recently, he canceled the funding for the World Health Organization. And you'd think he's literally Hitler from the way the media is reacting to this, right? So I think there is going to be a campaign to use this against them. I do too. It's brilliant. I mean, that should have happened, in the 1940s. Unfortunately, it didn't. But now it's better than never. So.
Well, one of the I know there's some, there may be some positive things, and I'm not a Pollyanna. And whether the economy is going to come back better than ever, I know I can't imagine that it will come back better than ever under a Biden's leadership. It's hard. I think the minute people get to see this real Joe Biden, I think it's going to scare a lot of people. But again, I don't. I take nothing for granted. I never thought that Hillary was a shoo-in when most people that I knew figured she was a shoo-in. I said, "Nah, I don't think so." All the pundits said she's going to win, and she was up. It was an upset. So I can't say that Trump will win hands down. But on the other hand, I'm looking at some of the positive things that may come out of this. One of them is the notion of borders, because one of the first things that a country does when they try to contain the virus is what? They close the borders. And these crazy governors, these left-wing governors, not only are they closing the state, but the national borders, they're closing state borders to some extent.
Yep, that's interesting. Now suddenly the 10th Amendment is not racist anymore. I'm wondering if Donald Trump used some reverse psychology. I'm sure you saw in the news where he told them all that the presidency has total authority. Like, what in the world is this guy thinking?
Yeah.
And now you have all these Democrat governors running around like chickens with their heads cut off saying, no, we have authority too. And so hopefully we'll all remember that next time we have a Democrat president and they want to impose gun control or who knows what else. I'm with you, Hal. I think there could be some very positive outcomes from this. In fact, my last word in that New American special issue on the coronavirus deals with some potential silver linings we might see here. One of them, naturally, is going to be, an affinity for borders once again. They've been teaching our kids at school that borders are racist, and you're racist if you support borders. I think that notion is going to fall by the wayside, at least for the time being. I'm also incredibly excited about the prospect for a massive increase in the number of homeschoolers in America. I just published an article in the Epoch Times a few days ago on this. It's called Coronavirus Gives Homeschool Revolution a Boost. And then we have a cover story going into the New American right now. It's probably heading off to the printer today on this topic of what's going to happen with education after coronavirus. And I think if things go well, we'll see millions of new homeschoolers. The establishment is trying to hijack this now. They want to seize this opportunity to blur the lines between homeschooling and government school. And so there's dangers, but I think a lot of parents are going to see for the first time some of the filth, some of the idiocy that's being peddled to their children in these institutions. And they're also, some of them all over the country, there's a lot of districts and a lot of states that have just completely done nothing. I would say their parents are on your own. have fun with your kids.
Really?
And a lot of
yeah.
these, oh, yeah. I mean, in the state of Oregon, they said, oh, you know, equity concerns means we can't do anything because that means that, you know, some kids in a rural district or a poor district where they don't have high-speed internet, they're not going to be able to participate. So they just shut everything down and said nobody could unenroll from school. I know because I was contacted by a mom who tried to drop out of the government brainwash camp and enroll in homeschooling and was told by officials that, no, by executive order, you're not allowed to unenroll your child in public school during this time.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah, that happened in a lot of states. And so I think a lot of parents will try out homeschooling for the first time and say, wait a minute, you know, that wasn't that bad. It actually was kind of fun. And look, the kids are happy. And, hey, they're learning. And, you know, mom lost her job anyway. So, hey, why don't we just keep doing this? And
that's
that
right.
Be,
Moms, yeah,
phenomenal.
That's right. The parents are home now in most many cases. It was interesting,
yep.
too, that the environmentalists are saying, oh, no one's driving. It's the country's getting green. The world's getting green. Well, let's reach into our inner Al Gore and say, well, wait a minute, you got to put your children on school buses that, for the most part, burn diesel fuel, and they go to this big old unsustainable building that does not have solar panels or may have a few but not enough to heat the whole place, and boy, you keep them at home, it's green, it lowers your carbon footprint. Only thing you have to make sure is you have a good internet connection. So I've actually, you know, we have the Blumenfeld Archive, and I noticed a nice little increase the last several weeks of people going to the site and downloading some of the material, especially the Alphaphonics. And this one lady bought a couple of our items on the Federal Reserve Bank, and we correspond, you know, email, and I says, well, how did you hear about it? She said, I just was searching, and I found you, and she says, I was bored, and I was looking for something to do. So come to our website. You won't be bored anymore, right? So I think that's a good sign. And one of the there was an article by one of our climate realist friends. I can't remember who it was, Paul Dryson maybe. And it was about the plastic bags and the reusable bags having coronavirus. Well, I made some postings. This was about 3 weeks ago. And I says, will common sense prevail over emotionalism? And will the plastic bag bans be repealed? And sure enough, they've been repealed. And then about a week later, they said supermarkets, at least in the Boston area, and I'm sure it's all over the country because, you know, mayor of Boston and the governor of Massachusetts aren't coming up with these ideas on their own. They're all, you know, being thrown out by the CDC or what, by other entities that they're just taking their marching orders from. So, now you can't even bring your reusable bag, and if you do, the clerks will say, I can't even touch that. Well, of course, because it may not have the coronavirus, but it has other nasty things in there. So let's hope that when this blows over, let's hope that the bans will the bans will not come into effect, because it's going to be hard for them to say, oh, these are the reusable bags are great. Well, wait a minute, you told us these things are full of viruses. Now you're using it again? I don't know. So I think that's just one positive thing. And also, made in USA, you know, the mask.
Yeah. And all kinds of things. I mean, I think our supply chains are really going to start cutting China out of the loop. And, you know, we had a cover story in the New American last year called China Making Our Medicine, where we exposed the fact that upwards of 90% of the precursors for our pharmaceuticals were being manufactured in communist China. And then during this coronavirus.
Alex, when was that? That was over a year ago, wasn't it? You had a story.
I believe it was in September, yeah. So it was probably, what, 8 months ago now. Yeah. And that was the cover story. And now suddenly people are like, oh, my goodness. You know, if people were only reading the New American, we could have solved this problem long before we actually had a coronavirus crisis, and the Chinese could threaten to withhold, you know, the active ingredients in Tylenol, for example, which, you know, people use to suppress fever and to deal with pain and things like that. So that'll be another bright side. You know, Trump has already started making moves on this front. And, you know, hopefully we will see communist China and the slave labor that they use increasingly cut out of our supply chains. And that'll be a big boost, not just for our economy, but also for our national security. And it'll be a big blow to the deep state, which, as we've been writing about for decades now, really Communist China, the Communist Chinese Party, is a creation, is a product of the deep state, going all the way back to when subversives in the Council on Foreign Relations made sure that Mao would end up taking over China and stuck a knife in our close ally Chiang Kai-shek's back. So this hopefully will have some positive impacts from this. But, you know, there is the other side, Hal, and that is the totalitarianism that they're pushing. And so, you know, I think on balance, it's more likely that we'll end up with a number of negative outcomes than positive, unless we're really, really active and really take this opportunity to move the ball down the field for our team.
Well, what troubles me is how people are so conditioned to accept whatever they hear in the mainstream media. People are walking around in masks, and I'm walking down my side street, and people are, I mean, I'm not that homely looking, you know, I'm not, people are crossing the street, you know, like, oh, you know, and then there are some people who haven't come out of their homes. They're just so afraid of catching the virus that they're staying, having things home. I've actually delivered, there was a lady in the neighborhood that was looking for help to go some shopping. She wouldn't even answer the door, see it through the window, you know, and a healthy lady, you know, I'm thinking, wow, they've really brainwash people. And of course, now the new phenomenon is plastic gloves and masks are littered all over the neighborhood too. You know, people are they're wearing plastic gloves for the first time, most of them, and they don't even know the proper way to do it in the masks as well. You know, they put their hands on the masks when they throw them away. That, well, you just, if there's any bacteria or virus on that mask, now you put it on your hands, dummy. You're going to defeat the purpose of the whole mask. So
yeah,
in Boston.
That's the
And again, this is happening in other places. This was early last week that they were zip tying the basketball nets. And I guess the good thing about that is that there are a lot of nets, a lot of basketball courts where the nets have been ripped off. So they actually had to put new nets on then zip tie them.
Oh, wow. No, but yeah, your point about the media is well taken. And I think most Americans now, if you look at the polling data, most Americans know that the media is lying to them. Most Americans are very suspicious of the media, but I think they're still struggling to understand how incredibly deceitful they are. You know, there's that old quote that's often attributed to Hitler's propaganda minister Goebbels, right? That if you tell the people a small lie, they might figure it out because, you know, normal people can tell small lies to each other. But when you tell a huge lie, they would never even suspect because, you know, normal people just aren't into telling these enormous, elaborate lies. And I think a lot of Americans, even though they're quite rightly suspicious of the fake media, you know, they love it when Donald Trump laughs at CNN and calls them fake news, they don't realize
right.
that, like, the whole entire programming is just a giant psychological operation designed to condition us, to train us. And, you know, I see otherwise very sensible people, conservatives, people who love liberty, people who support the Constitution. And you can tell right away who watches television because they all walk around. They're like programmed robots or trained SEALs. You know, they all repeat the same slogan. Oh, we got to flatten the curve. We got to flatten the curve. Flatten the curve. And they just all keep repeating it mindlessly, not realizing how silly it all sounds to somebody who's unplugged from this idiotic box called the television. Hey, you look at this from the outside, you're like, man, you guys know that it's fake news, and yet here you are repeating their slogans. Crazy.
Exactly. That's the power of the media. What's interesting, too, I haven't listened to all the press conferences that Trump has held, but I've listened to them, you know, on and off. And the media, most of the people in the press corps, they're just trying to nail him, saying, you know, catch him in something. But when I hear the mayor Marty Walsh, not one person in the media has ever said, "Hey, Marty, you think your sanctuary cities has been a problem in this?" Nothing. They don't do that. Oh, are the mosques also? You've closed the churches. Have you closed the mosque too? You know, or Governor Baker, who's a left wing Republican, same thing. They just fawn over them. They don't say anything about their policies that have helped us. And this is a very politically incorrect policy, but I think you agree that most big city mayors and liberal, but leftist governors have done everything they can to promote a lifestyle that leads to a weakened immune system. And that, of course, is the homosexual lifestyle.
Yep.
And no one's saying, hey, maybe at least, can you at least be neutral on this one and not aggressively promote it in every government school? In fact, I went to a, and that's one of the another positive things. All of the drag queen reading hours have been canceled.
Don't worry, Hal. They've got this one covered. Actually, I wrote about this in my upcoming cover story for The New American. You know, the perverts have also realized that the kids are home from school, and so now one of these perverts said, oh, there's no drag queen story hour at school. We need to do it online. And so this
went online,
drag queen called Nina West has Homeschooling with Nina, where you get to watch drag queen stuff in your home during your homeschooling. Oh, it's so sick. And Psychics, the used to be called the, Sex Education and Information Council of the United States. Founded with help from the disgusting pedophile pervert Alfred Kinsey, responsible for the rape and sexual torture of thousands of innocent children,
including babies
5 months old.
That's right. There's an excellent book called the, I think it's pronounced CECUS, but maybe it's an acronym anyway.
Yep.
It came out back in the early 70s, published by the John Birch Society, Western Islands, called the CECUS Circle. And it goes into the founders, Pomeroy, and all the perverts that were involved in that. So it's a very good book. And it's something, by the way, my late friend, Dr. Mildred Jefferson, she said, anytime you come across a copy, I want it. Do you have a copy?
I don't. I would love to get one, though, Hal. So if
One of the positive things about this virus is that all the activities for Camp Constitution, all the public events and places I was supposed to speak and homeschool shows all been canceled, but I have a chance to go through my barn where I have all kinds of books and pamphlets and brochures, and I'm able to finally organize it, and I've been doing it for the last 4 or 5 days, and I'm finding, oh, here's a secret. Oh, there's another copy. So I'll get one off to you if you
That'd be amazing.
If you want to just message me or text me address, I'll get it off to you. Yeah.
I'll do that. I'd sure appreciate it. And actually, I just wrote a very, very extensive article. I'm doing a history of public education series for the Epoch Times. And other than that recent homeschooling one, another recent one I did was on the history of sex education. And I exposed that. You know, it started off in the Bella Kuhn regime where they thought, hey, if we can expose these little kids to perversion and pornography.
That's the Hungary, the dictator of Hungary.
Exactly.
The dictator.
That's right. Yep, so they were the ones who pioneered this, and their goal, their stated objective, was to destroy the family and destroy Christian civilization to make way for this new communist utopia. Well, later Alfred Kinsey came along and gave this ridiculous idea some pseudoscientific respectability. He actually had his pedophiles raping children, including 5-month-old babies, 4-year-old boys, and they've got all the data. He's got it logged in his book called Sexuality in the Human Male. He's got table 31, 32, 33, 34 that documents this disgusting abuse, molestation, and rape of children. And what these perverts said was, oh, look, the 5-month-old baby is experiencing orgasm. They're experiencing climax. And they define that as screaming, shrieking, hollering, passing out, crying. What kind of monster would take that seriously? But what they said was, hey, look, these children are sexual from birth. They can experience climax when they're 5-month-old babies. That means we have to start sexualizing them in kindergarten as soon as we can possibly get our hands on them. And that's the origin of the sex education. I think parents need to know that. And so now I've become really passionate about this. You know, the governor's promoting all this stuff, the public school system promoting all this. If people knew the history, I don't care if it's the most progressive, Obama-loving liberal, they would tar and feather the people responsible for this. And so I think it's an important, thing for parents to understand. It's important. It's an important policy to expose, and especially because of the damage that it does to how, the undermining the family, undermining biblical religion, undermining morality. It's so sad and it's so sick, and we know now that these things hurt people for the rest of their lives.
Jesus is very clear. He said, when you cause one of these little ones to sin, it's better to put a millstone on your neck and be tossed into the sea.
That's right.
This is what they're doing. getting to Kinsey, he was a sadomasochist, and I can't say how he died in polite company. This is a family radio show, but it was pretty disgusting. And yet he's considered this great liberator, this great man that just freed us from our moral restraints and all these generations of people that held their, held sex in check. And, thanks so much. No, he's the one that the out of wedlocks, the pornography, the suicides, and all these other things should be pinned on him. And the Rockefeller Foundation, which funded that. And of all places, you would think it was in rural Indiana, you know, somewhat of a Bible Belt area where he did all this, these filthy experiments right under the noses of these folks, you know.
Yeah, and they've still got a Kinsey Institute there, funded by tax dollars at Indiana University. Makes you want to puke, yep.
Yeah, well, again, it's you know, there's been a lot of exposure of these people, and again, thankfully, that now that all the children are home, and some of them might be actually, some of the parents might be seeing some of the stuff that's coming through the their online their computers and all. And now you're also you are a teacher at the Freedom Project Academy. Can you talk a little bit about that? We have about, we got about three or four minutes left. So tell us something about Freedom Project Academy and how can the listeners up there saying, gee, I don't know where to begin when it comes to homeschooling. I don't have a PhD in math and history and science and geography. So how can I possibly teach my children?
Yeah, well, thank you, Hal, for the opportunity. I'm a teacher at Freedom Project Academy. I teach advanced economics to high school seniors and occasionally incredibly smart juniors. And our school is continuing as normal. I mean, we have, resurrection week off here, you know, so we're on break right now, but starting next week we'll be back up as normal, and the virus really hasn't impacted us at all. The data is very clear about homeschooling. You know, parents, even if you don't have a high school diploma, your children will still, on average, do significantly better than the victims of government school. And I mean like 30 to 40 percentile points higher on the government's own standardized academic achievement test. But for those parents who want help, who want a partner, who want, you know, a little bit more formal structure interaction with a live teacher, a Freedom Project is a good option. It's an online K-12 school based on biblical values. Your children will learn how to read with phonics, of course, and they'll learn real science, and they'll learn real American history and real world history, rather than the fake history that the schools are peddling and the gender science, you know, chop off your wiener and become a new gender, or, you know, take hormones. Yeah, it's unbelievable stuff they're teaching. So there's none of that at Freedom Project Academy. And we actually have an article about it in the upcoming issue of The New American. But if people want to learn more, they can go to FPE, Freedom Project Education USA.org. That's FPEUSA.org. And I think enrollment is open until the summer for people who want to enroll next year. So
we're actually considering having a satellite school at our learning center in Lexington, where we could probably host 10 to 12 comfortably. I think there's a minimum of 10 to 12. But I would encourage churches, civic organizations that have a place to meet, that they can, instead of building a million-dollar building, you can just have a satellite school right there. And all these churches that are I drive by in my travels, I'll stop off at churches and leave information and about our camp and about the Blumenfeld Archive, what have you. And 98% of them, nobody's there. They have their Wednesday service, their Sunday service. The rest of the week, this big old building is empty, and it could be used as a school. There's some exceptions, which are it's good to see. But so that's what people can do. And how many people are retired, and they're looking for things to do? Well, just be you don't have to be a teacher. Just make sure there's the coffee pot is on, and the computer is working, and the internet connection is good, and you just sit there and kind of babysit, because you and your colleagues at the Freedom Project do all the work, that's it. Just make sure that everything's working fine. So again, what's the website for the Freedom Project?
That's FPEUSA.org. And actually, Duke Pesta and I just launched out, and some other people just launched a new ministry called Public School Exit, where we are working to facilitate a massive exodus from the public school system. And we're encouraging parents to take this opportunity to free their children, take back control over the education. And if that means putting them in Freedom Project, great. If that means homeschooling them yourself, great. You know, anything to get them out of the clutches of government indoctrination, sexualization, perversion, dumbing down, and all the rest of it. So,
well, we've got Brexit, we've got Emera exit out of the UN, and we have Blackset, right? Getting Blacks out of the Democrat Party. So, what do you call this one?
Public school exit, and that's where we got the name from.
Yeah,
my thing alike.
That's great. Okay, and also the New American magazine, thenewamerican.com, and you have your own site called Liberty Sentinel too.
I do, yeah, and I published an article there about Camp Constitution from you. So if people want to know more about
you certainly
Camp Constitution,
did. So you know,
a
it must
fantastic
be a credible
article
source
about
of
that.
Information. It has to be very
obviously,
credible.
Obviously, if Hal Sharpe is writing for it, you can take that to the bank.
All right, well, thank you so much, folks. You've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Sharpe. And until next week, may God bless you. Good night.